One of you this evening in the name of Jesus. Appreciate what was shared with us this evening already about the importance of the Word, that it takes root, becomes part of us to give us spiritual health and well-being. I bring greetings from the church at Hillsdale, and I'm thankful, even though I don't know very many of you at all. Thankful for finding fellow laborers in the kingdom here in Altoona. The Lord bless the work here as you continue on. Brother Tony had asked me some time back already to come here and preach for you on a Sunday evening. And he remembered a message I had preached some years ago in comparing the life to a trip across North America from the East Coast to the West. And just the general geography of North America in that way. And so that's what we tried to do this evening, is take that panoramic view of life and using that general geography as illustrations for it. We have the low mountains in the east, and then we have the great plains, and then we have the steep mountain peaks out west, and then a pretty rapid descent into the Pacific Ocean at the west. But thinking about life, Job said that man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth as a flower. We sang that, didn't we? Something about like leaves on a tree, but nothing changes God. We flourish and blossom, but then we're gone. Let's turn to Psalm 90 just for a beginning thoughts here on what life is. Here in the middle of the psalm, it mentions how that we spend our years as a tale that is told. That word tale has the thought of muttering, like Strong said, of muttering, like in sighing or thought or thunder. So we spend our years just as a thought, or just when you're sort of mumbling, talking to yourself, and then it's over. A tale that is told. Psalm 90. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Just a few things I'd like to notice here in this psalm. It says, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, verse 1. God is eternal. And it mentions all generations. That gives the idea of, you know, one generation comes, another generation goes away, and the next one comes, like Solomon gave it in Ecclesiastes. All generations. We just take our turn here. And our turn gets over so fast. But God, before the mountains were brought forth, or he ever formed anything, everlasting to everlasting, he's there. He's solid. 1,000 years are just like yesterday when it's past. That's God. And then things, words describing our frailty of life. A flood. A sleep. Grass. It withers. Consumed. Troubled. Secret sins. Passed away, days passed away. Spend our years. 70 years. That's only 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years or 80, then it's full of labor and sorrow. It's soon cut off. We fly away. But we see here some solid things as well. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. When we get these things settled early in life, we can find meaning in life, and we can find gladness all our days. And then, verse 16, let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. If we get this vision, we can pass this glory on to the rising generation. Let your work appear. If we don't grasp what we're here for, then our children have, well, we just didn't pass it on to them. But if we get a vision of that work, then our children can see that glory as well, as we are experiencing now the glory of the vision that former generations had. We are. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Establish thou the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. It makes our work have value. There's reason. There's purpose. There's something eternal about it. We're here on this earth for a reason. So that's just getting some of those things straight here in the beginning. Psalm 103, verses 14 to 18 would have similar thought patterns. He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. His mercy is everlasting. And then it mentions children's children as well. So I just like that outline there. Thought of the song, it says, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never dying soul to save and fit it for the sky. That's my number one calling, my own soul. And then it goes on in another verse of that song, to serve the present age, my calling to fulfill. Oh, may it all my powers engage to do my master's will. To serve the present age, to fill the place why God has me here, should be, that's what verse 16, I think, is saying. Let thy work appear to thy servants. Solomon tried to figure all this out. What is life all about? What's the meaning behind this cycle? Generations come and go, the sun rises and sets. And where's the fulfillment? He said he was searching these things out so that he could tell us, what is that good thing that men ought to do all the days of their life under the sun. Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And why should we look at life in this panoramic way? We can't see beyond the next bend anyhow. I don't know what's coming tomorrow. Just a few things I thought about. Sometimes people talk about the best stages. You know, when the children were all at home, that was just the best time in life. Or I just can't wait until I can get my driver's license. I just can't wait till I'm 21. If I could just be married. And they think back to those things. They remember the childhood innocence. They call it the good old days. So I have here one reason for looking at it in this way is so we can enjoy each stage. We can enjoy and fulfill the stage that we're in. Be there and be what God meant for us to be at that time. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 and 17, Paul is talking about his ministry, preaching. But he says, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, the dispensation of, how does it say it? It's committed to me. In other words, it's inevitable anyhow. You might as well enjoy it. Right? So do it willingly. Whatever the stage of your life is, do it willingly and you'll be rewarded for it. This is the stage I'm in. This is my calling. I might as well enjoy it while I'm in it. Second reason, I think so we can be aware of where we're headed. We can be prepared for it. Now, experiences are different. We can't just know where we're going because of the general way it is, because everybody's experience is different. But we can be aware of perhaps where we're headed and what to look for, what to expect. So that's another reason why. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 and 13 says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. So it's good to know where we're going. Arm yourselves with the same mind. We can be prepared for it. We can be armed for it. We can count the cost. Jesus taught us to count the cost. Be aware of which way we're going. Brother Marvin at home, they traveled out west years ago, but he said, if I remember right, he gave this thought that, you know, it's big out west. But he said, if you just put it in your mind that it's going to take 3 days to get from here to here, it's going to take 3 days. So you accept it. And you just drive for a day, get a motel, sleep, drive another day, and you get there. It's not that bad because you expected it. You knew it's that far. You knew it's going to take long. When my wife and I were out there, we just looked at the map and didn't think about the difference in the scale of miles and thought we're going to drive from here to here and then we're going to sleep. Well, we were driving the whole night and half the next day to get to where we thought we were going to go in time for the night. Anyway, so we can be aware of where we're headed. And the third one, knowing where we are can give us courage. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Like Samuel said, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. God helped us here. He was faithful in the past. He will be faithful all the way through. Maybe you're in Pennsylvania. Maybe if you're in Ohio, or if you're in Nebraska, or if you're in Wyoming. I don't know if anybody's here that's entering into California yet or not. But anyway, it can give us just a courage to know where we are, I think. But In either case, I guess the goal of my message this evening is that in whatever stage of life you are, that you can be inspired to travel on. I feel like traveling on. Okay, starting in the east on the Atlantic coast. I think of the Atlantic coastal plains as, well, I have a portion of scripture to read for each stage. Let's turn to Mark 10. Verses 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus took the little children up in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. The beauty of innocence. Those children come to us so innocent, so pure, so clean. Beautiful. The Atlantic coastal plain. Carefree days. Paul says, I was alive without the law once. He was alive. He was happy. Children can pray. They know the Lord in that sense. There's nothing between them and God. Pure, innocent. Blessings on thee, barefoot, thee little man. This is that barefoot poem. I just have parts of it here. Blessings on thee, little man, barefoot boy with cheek of tan. Goes on and talks about his merry whistled tunes and his turned up pantaloons. And outward sunshine, inward joy, blessings on thee, barefoot boy. Just that beauty of innocence. And Jesus loves the little children. He does. So we start out on those coastal plains. But it's so short. All too soon is the phrase in that poem. It says those feet must hide in the prison house of pride. I don't know if the author thought that wearing shoes is pride or not, but anyway, all too soon that innocence is gone away. And you start coming up into these foothills. You start, well, even in that innocence, you learn responsibility, chores, school. Before that, you've learned obedience. You've learned what yes and no is. You've started climbing some hills. And then you come into the Appalachian Highlands. You get into these mountains. The Blue Mountain, the Kittatinny Mountain, Jack's Mountain, Stone Mountain, the Laurel Highlands. All these mountains to climb. Mountains can be difficult, but they can be, sometimes we talk about mountaintop experiences as well. Paul again, explaining in Romans 7, how that he was alive without the law once. Then he says, but then the commandment came and I died. The adolescent. He comes to realize that something's wrong. Not quite everything's right. I used to just go to mom and dad and say, I'm sorry that I disobeyed or did this or that. Now something doesn't go away. God is talking to me. You're approaching one of those mountains. But as you climb that mountain of becoming accountable for your sin and you repent, and it can be a mountaintop, it is a mountaintop experience as well. Like I said, these mountains are difficulties, but they're also glorious experiences. The verses to read for the adolescent, or not just for the adolescent, this is for all of us. Matthew 11, 28 and 29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I don't know if you noticed there, it talks about one place it says, I will give you rest. Another place it says, you shall find rest for your souls. I just like to differentiate a little bit there. I will give you rest. When we come and surrender to Jesus, we repent of our sins, we trust in him to wash our sins away, and we believe it in our heart, and we're just happy. Like the songwriter says, days of joyful dreaming just follow that. He gave us rest. But then it says, take my yoke, learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. So that thing of the new birth, realizing your sinful condition and giving your heart to Jesus, that's a mountain. But we still have other things to learn. You know, social acceptance. You know, we're worried about what people think. We don't quite know where we fit. You know, what your friends think about your dress is more important than what your parents think, or even maybe than what the church thinks. You know, Jesus said, take my yoke, learn, you'll find rest. He can give you rest for those kind of things. I remember when I was very much self-conscious about even just driving, when I first had my driver's license. The people behind me think I'm going too slow, or they're watching how I'm taking this turn, or the passengers with me, especially if it was other youth, what do they think of my driving? I was very self-conscious about those things. These are some of the lessons we learn. Some of those mountains we're going across. And sometimes we don't respond properly to that. I remember one time calling somebody's at school. We were playing baseball and somebody had a smaller bat, and I called that thing a toothpick. Why? Trying to fit in, trying to be somebody, trying to find out where I'm at. You know, those are just some of the mountains we face in these years. And then, of course, there's a job, an occupation. What shall I do? Well, I think first of all, we just do what Dad does. Just help him. Maybe you can think about what else to do later when you're 21 or more. Anyhow, so much for that. But there's things like, should I teach school? Should I start dating? Should I accept this date? And all those things. Those are the things that these mountains, the Appalachian Mountains. Maybe then you get married. Then there's children. Maybe there's sick children. Maybe your wife gets gallstones and you go through that surgery. Maybe you get appendicitis and you have that. And then one of the children has, or they think she has, maybe spinal meningitis. Some of the experiences we've had, and there's a lot of other experiences others have had. Accidents. Or the child climbs up on a gate and it falls over backwards on him and they lose a child. Happened to my cousin. Crippled children, all those things. Children in school. Discipline problems. The school just looks right into your home. You send your children to school and it's like a window into your home. They just can see what's going on in the home. Children coming to accountability. Now they're coming into that, starting into those mountains already. Maybe you're called to service on the school board or some committee. You're asked to have topics or writing or even mother's writing. Maybe you're ordained. All these things happen in such rapid succession. These mountains, the Blue Mountain and Kittatinny Mountain, you go through those tunnels on a turnpike. You're still in the one tunnel and you see the green lights for the next tunnel. It's just such rapid succession, one after the other. Maybe you're asked to move. Colonization effort of the church. A scripture for this stage. I still have this as part of the Appalachian Highlands. Second Corinthians 9:8-15. Mothers, different times in our interviews in preparation for communion, they will admit to hardly being able to find time for quiet time, for their devotions, for their prayer. They're so busy with the children. That's your role right now. I'd like to read 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 to 15. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And this is talking about giving, but I'd like to apply it to this. I don't think it's doing injustice to the scriptures. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Somehow God makes you reach around. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. I said I'd read to 15. Okay, I'll keep reading. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whereas by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. God is able to minister to your needs. It says there in verse 13, profess subjection to the gospel of Christ. Just submission to your role, to your lot, and God will make you reach around somehow. Maybe it seems endless. I remember when we were traveling through Canada one time, my wife and I, we were traveling west, and I don't know how it is, but this is how it seemed like to me. We were just in these tall trees and just drove and drove and drove. It seemed like we wouldn't get out of these trees. And all of a sudden, there was the end of the trees, and it was just flat, 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 flat. You do come through. All of a sudden, things change. And maybe not quite that exact, but you drive out into the Great Plains. That's the third region. On the Great Plains, you drive fast. You drive and you drive and you drive and you drive and you drive fast. You don't get anywhere. You see that mountain peak there, and you're driving for a half a day, and you went from there to there, it seems like. The older you get, the faster the time flies. Maybe life becomes uneventful, in a sense. Spring and summer and fall and winter just follow each other around and around and around and around. Maybe this is the largest region, I don't know. Seems to me maybe it is. Depending where you start counting middle age to be. But sameness sets in. Now you're married more than half of your life. Maybe you're married two-thirds of your life. Your children are married. Before you know it, they have children in school. It doesn't take long for somebody to go through school anymore. It did when I went to school. It took a long time. Well, now it doesn't seem long at all. They have a child in school, and next thing you know, I have a grandson that's a couple years from through school. It seems like another thing, I don't know, at least this is how it was for some of us. You think about it, the place where I live today, I lived there, or at least the area where I live today, I lived there a whole lot longer than anywhere else. Those first couple years, you're trying to get settled and you're doing this and that. After a while, you just settle down. Before you know it, you lived here. You did this thing. You farmed or made lawn furniture or whatever you're doing longer than you did anything else in your life. It's just, it flattened out, seems like. You're still making lawn furniture? Yeah. Still farming? Yeah. Still doing the same thing. You're older than your dad was when he quit farming or whatever. Before you know it, your grandchildren will be getting married. Okay, a scripture for that stage. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Now, that doesn't quite sound like what I was saying. Everything's just sameness. It sounds pretty stormy there. But what I'm getting out of that is time, just the test of time. Statement I heard not so long ago, faithfulness is not a dormant stage. Just being faithful. Just stay the same. Just be faithful. Jesus gave the parable of the seed that was planted, and some fell along on the wayside and the birds ate it up, and some just sprung up real quick because it had no root, and some fell into the thorns and it grew, but the thorns choked it out. But he says it brought no fruit to perfection. And he goes on and says, bring forth fruit with patience. Just keep on. You know what? We're not home yet. We're only halfway across. Don't give up. Don't be like Hezekiah and say, oh, well, as long as it's good in my day. You know, there was this, I was looking for it, but I couldn't find it, this poem. It tells us about the wind and the sun had a contest. Maybe you know that. And they said, there goes that traveler. Who can take his coat off? The wind said, I'll do it. And it blew, and he just hung on tighter and tighter. He couldn't make him take his coat off. And the wind said, the sun said, okay, now it's my turn. The sun just came out, just shone brightly. Just shone brightly. After a while, the man opened it up. Next thing you knew, he took it off and threw it across his shoulder. The sun had done it. I don't know if vehicles give out on those great plains more than they do on the mountains or not, but sometimes that's where some of us give out. We're tempted to compromise. We're tempted to laxness. Maybe we're tempted to follow our children into, you know, just drift. Another scripture yet for this stage. Jeremiah 17. Yeah, we heard about a tree, a couple of trees, didn't we, in the opening? Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. A heath, I'm not sure what it is. It seems to me I saw a heath one time at Longwood Gardens or something, just some kind of little shrubby thing. A heath in the desert. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Her roots are spread out by the river. Are we like that in the middle age? Through sorrow or through joy, I travel calmly on, the songwriter says, and sing in life or death, my Lord, thy will be done. Then we come into the Rocky Mountain region. And maybe none of us here is there yet. Isaiah 46. But we have no promise that we're going to make it the whole way across either. You know, if the Atlantic Ocean, if the Pacific Ocean is the end of our life, is death, we don't know. We're not promised that we can travel this whole way. It's just a general overview of life in general. I trust we understand that. Isaiah 46, verses 4 and 5. And even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoarheads will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom then will ye liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? God promised that he will carry us when we get old. He will take care of us. Verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Those Rocky Mountains, I thought of old age. It said there, it's labor and their strength is labor and sorrow. There's health issues, perhaps. Maybe parents might pass on when you're still on the Great Plains. Parents pass on, lose a companion, husband or wife. Those steep, high mountains. Maybe there's wayward children. And then death itself. My wife's uncle, when he was dying of leukemia, he said, I didn't know it's so hard to die. I didn't know it's that hard to die. It's one of those steep mountains. Psalm 92, verses 12 to 15. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. they shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Out there on the other side of the Rockies, I think there's that beautiful valley out there. I never saw it. But where all those grapes and all those carrots and all that, it's a productive place. Sometimes older saints are granted that privilege to just be healthy and productive and useful in their old age. It's not always that speedy drop off into the Pacific as it is in along some of the coast there. I thought about those high mountains. There's a road in Honduras, and maybe there's roads around here too, where you're driving and it looks like the road just continues. But you're looking across a ravine and you might not realize it. The road actually goes down and through the creek and up around and then up to where you saw it. I thought of that already. On thy highest mount I stand. We're looking away across the sea where mansions are prepared for me. But there's still that valley of death in between. We have to go down the valley. I'd like to read Psalm 23 yet for all of us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Are you ready for the long haul? It's a long trip across North America. You know, a new broom sweeps good. But a tumble-down barn is an eyesore. We have some of them in Indiana County, those tumble-down barns. And we're not home yet. Do you have the first love the Savior gave you? Is that fire still burning in your soul? Titus 2 speaks about the word of God being blasphemed. And it speaks about the doctrine being adorned. The difference is, am I living true to it? Am I belittling it, or am I adorning it? Do you feel like traveling on? Whatever stage of life you find yourself in, enjoy the stages of life and fear the Lord. Those thoughts come from Ecclesiastes. I should have maybe looked at it. In the first chapters of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is trying to figure out, he says that I could figure out what is, he didn't use those exact words, what is that good thing that men ought to do under the sun all the days of their life? What is the good thing that we ought to be involved in under the sun? He goes on and he says some things. He says, enjoy your work, enjoy your food, enjoy your wife. Solomon says that. But then he says, but hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. That's Solomon's wisdom. Jesus' words, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. If I'm in Wyoming and I break down, I'm not home yet. Even if I'm in California on that high mountain and I break down, I haven't reached my goal. You're on those mountains, the Appalachian Mountains, just singing your days away with your newfound joy. I don't want to dampen that, but you're not home yet. Do you feel like traveling on? Life is earnest. Again, I don't have the whole poem. The grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of the soul. I just wish to encourage you. Let's keep traveling on. Let's kneel for prayer.